It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Two strangers brought together by the power of algorithms step into a New York City cab. The setup for a particularly nerdy joke, the premise of the world's most boring love story, or maybe, just maybe, the future of how more people get around in New York City. A new study published this week in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences analyzed taxi trip data in New York and found that if people just shared cabs, people going from the same place to the same place, mind you, it could increase efficiency and reduce traffic by up to 40%, 40% fewer cabs on the road, 40% less pollution, and 40% more plot points for romantic comedies, eh? Carlo Ratti is director of the MIT Sensible City Laboratory. He co-authored the new taxi sharing study with Stephen Strogatz, professor of applied mathematics at Cornell. You may recognize his name as a frequent guest on our very own radio lab. Professor Ratti, Professor Strogatz, welcome back to WNYC. You're not sharing a phone line, are you?
Hi, Brian.
Good morning.
Thanks very much. No, I'm all the way upstate in Ithaca.
Oh, too bad, because by my calculations, that would increase the efficiency of this conversation by 43%. But listeners, our mathematicians are bringing the data. You bring the anecdotes. What do you make of the idea of sharing a cab? Would you do it if it cut your fare in half? How far out of your way, or how long would you wait to share a cab? And how much have you done it? Because we know this goes on in the real world of New York every day, at the airport or when buses are late or whatever. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, on cabs you have shared or how far you would go to share a taxi and save a little money that way. 212-433-9692. Stephen Strogatz, did you start with the question, what would happen if we all shared cabs, or were you just playing with data and something broke out?
Well, I think this would be a good one for Carlo to answer, because it was really his team that collected the data about taxis in New York. And I think part of it was just to sort of study the pulse of the city. And many questions suggest themselves as soon as you have all that enormous amount of data. So, Carlo, do you want to weigh in? What was your original thinking?
Sure, totally. Well, the first thing is that actually what happened over the past few years with Mayor Bloomberg is actually so much more data has become available. It's about open data initiatives. In this case, it's about the New York Taxi and Limousine Commission making the data available to researchers. And so we were looking at this and we said, well, you know, how could we as a theoretical exercise, how could the New York taxi system be made more efficient? And then we ask ourselves, you know, imagine people were ready to share a taxi. Now, let's take it as an assumption, as a hypothesis. You know, these days people like to share a lot of things, even, you know, bedrooms on Airbnb, apartments and so on. But let's imagine that the people were inclined to share something. And then we said, you know, how much more efficient could the system be? And then the amazing result is that what you find out is that, you know, you could take everybody to destination exactly when they need to be there, give or take a couple of minutes or, you know, maximum 5 minutes. And you could do that with 40% less infrastructure. So that was the amazing results that that we found, and then that actually then suggested that we look more detail into the data.
This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. It's New York and New Jersey Public Radio as we talk about this new study indicating the efficiencies that could come from more taxicab sharing in New York City. 212-433-WNYC. And Orla in Manhattan has a story. Hi, Orla.
How are you, Brian?
Okay. What happened?
Well, on one of the many occasions that I have invited people to share taxis, I was coming from JFK, and the guy wound up offering me work. Very legitimate work, I might add. I'm a writer. And just as we got talking, he asked me to do a project for him.
There you go. A crowdsource of one. And it worked. Orla, thank you very much. So, Professor Ratti, from what I'm seeing, you worked from a database of information about each of the 172 million taxi rides in the city in 2011, as you started to describe, where the passenger was picked up and dropped off, time of pickup, time of drop off, 172 million taxi rides. That's a heck of a mega database. So how close of a match would it have to be in order for you to say the two riders could have shared a cab? Like if two people are taking taxis within 5 minutes of each other or going within five blocks of each other, they should share. What have you come up with?
I'd say, you know, the parameter we actually defined is a time parameter. And Stephen perhaps can talk more about this. It's a parameter we call delta. And the delta parameter tells you the little delay that one might tolerate. It could be like a couple of minutes. It could be up to 5 minutes, no more than 5 minutes. And that's the time you get to your destination. So what we said was, based on this delta parameter, how many trips can you share on the network?
Stephen Strogatz, do you want to pick that up?
Well, it's something that really the psychologists and the people themselves will have to tell us. How much are people willing to tolerate to go out of their way, given, you know, if you're willing to put up with, say, 4 minutes instead of 3 minutes delay, you're going to have a lot more opportunities for sharing, and that will mean for saving money. So on the other hand, maybe you really don't want to spend four extra minutes compared to three. And so we don't know what the answer is. That's a psychological question. And as people are trying this now, you know, there are companies out there like Bandwagon, and Uber has just introduced Uber Pool. I think these experiments are going to be conducted with real people, not just in our computer experiments. And we're going to find out what people are willing to do.
You mentioned Bandwagon. We actually have a CEO of Bandwagon who's going to join this conversation briefly in a few minutes. But let's take another listener call first. Pablo on Staten Island. You're on WNYC. Hello, Pablo.
Thanks, Brian. I grew up in the Bronx, and I was used to, you call a cab, they pick you up at point A, take you to point B, job's done, okay, you're happy. Now that I moved to Staten Island, it's almost mandatory that you share a cab. Many a times, starting from the Staten Island Ferry to your destination, sometimes you're in a cab with about eight people in a minivan. It's like, whoa, you know, who are these people? It feels awkward. And when you call a cab, they say, okay, where are you at? Where are you going? Okay, 5 minutes. When you jump in a cab, there's three other people there like, wait a minute, I didn't call for a whole carpool. And now a 6 minute trip just turned into a 20-minute trip because now they have to drop this person off, that person off, and since you were the last one in, now you're the last one dropped off, unless you're around the corner or something.
Right.
And it's very awkward. You don't know these people. You know, it just feels very awkward. You don't know what's going to happen. And I was actually in a situation where we go, the cab driver says, oh, we just got to make a quick stop. One guy gets out, and he goes into a store to buy weed, and it was so awkward.
Right.
Marijuana. It was a known spot for a marijuana.
So this
sale.
Is all while you're in a taxi share. So before we bring in our professors on the inefficiency of the potential of taxi sharing, Pablo, when you're in that van with eight other riders, do you feel an obligation to talk to them and have conversations and interaction? Or is it more like on an airplane where you can look at the person next to you, give them a little smile, and then sit in silence for the whole ride?
That's exactly how it is. You're cramped in there like a plane. You just look at them, smile, and it's like, oh, God. Because you don't want to be there. You don't expect to jump in a cab with eight other strangers all cramped in, rubbing on you. And God forbid you have OCD or something, and you can't stand people touching you.
You've got OCD in this story. You've got marijuana buys in this story. This is Professor Roddy and Stephen Strogatz. Not where you expected your little efficient ride-sharing story to go, but I guess that's the extreme end of it.
We didn't really model the weed and the OCD with our mathematics.
It's not in the algorithm.
We didn't develop the algorithm yet, but it could be a next paper. But the thing is, all of that can happen. The key question, I would say, you know, for us it was important from a theoretical point of view to say how the system could be made more efficient. Now, then, if we know all these savings could actually happen, then you can think about the future where also the design of the cab itself is different, where people have more privacy, you know, they don't need to talk to each other. So for us, it was more like a theoretical exercise, but, you know, looking at how this could be made more efficient, and it looks like there's a lot of potential. So I think
if I could just jump in here, I mean, I think Pablo's question or comment makes the point that, if you don't do this the right way, it's not going to be very attractive for people. That is, if you're sharing rides with people who really aren't going the same way and you're incurring these big delays as a result of it, that's not good. And so our algorithm deals with that. I mean, we make sure that's what we mean when we say that we have this parameter that Carlo earlier mentioned that is the maximum delay that you will suffer. So, you know, by pairing up the right riders with others who are going essentially the same direction, at least on paper, we're ensuring that the delay problem will not occur. As far as the obnoxious stranger, you know, or someone you really don't want to be rubbing up against, that's
what can you do? Yes. As we talk about the potential for more taxi sharing in New York City, also joining us now is David Mafuda, CEO of Bandwagon. David, hello.
Hi. Thanks, Ryan.
Tell people who don't know, what is Bandwagon?
Bandwagon is an app that makes it very easy for people to share taxis and car services. So you can either book a seat in a Bandwagon sedan, or you can open the app and find out who's near you and head your way, and then hop in a taxi or actually a Halo. We recently announced a partnership with a New York City e-hailing provider called Halo.
And are Uber and Lyft already using this or something like it?
They are. Their products are in limited betas out in San Francisco. They're not available in New York City yet. So we've been, thanks to generous grants from New York State and also some major Verizon awards, we've been operational in New York City for about a year now.
And you're, if I'm not mistaken, concentrated mostly at airports and other transit hubs, which is where I guess it would make the most sense.
It does, and Carlo and others have been talking about sort of how this works on paper and some of the tolerances that passengers might need to put up with in order to share. What we found is, particularly at airports and crowded transportation hubs, it can actually be faster to share a ride than to go solo. And I think a lot of New Yorkers have experienced this, particularly late at night when they haven't been able to actually find taxis at some of the New York City airports. By sharing, we can actually move more passengers faster in the available vehicle stock.
So, Stephen Strogatz, Professor Roddy, anything you want to ask David Mafuda, CEO of Bandwagon, while he's here?
I would like to ask something, if I could. Hi there, David.
Hey, how's it going?
I've heard from some psychologists that people are actually surprised that they end up liking strangers and talking to strangers more than they would have thought. I'm wondering if your customers are reporting anything about that.
Definitively, yeah. It's a value add for us. We do a lot of work for conferences and events, and particularly for those kinds of customers. They already share a lot in common. They're going to these events in order to network, and it's something that they really appreciate is the opportunity to get to meet someone in a serendipitous situation.
It's like that caller who got a job offer. You could use that as like an advertising tool. So, all right, David Mafuda, CEO of Bandwagon, thank you very much for dropping into this conversation. Would there need to be a change in the law? Because right now, I believe a New York City taxi with a passenger in it may not stop and add another rider.
I don't feel qualified to answer. I think some of these ideas have been run by the New York City Taxi Commission, and it sounds like they do approve the use of certain apps, but I don't honestly know what the details are.
It could be if they're picking up people at the same time, and I'm not entirely clear on the law, but if they're picking up people at the same time, it's okay. But I think if you're, you know, a regular yellow taxi with the light off because you have a passenger, you cannot stop and pick up another passenger who's trying to hail you.
But if I can add, I would also say, you know, like Stephen, I feel I'm not qualified to answer this question. But you know, what we've seen in this space over the past couple of years is actually policy and regulations are changing based on what's happening there in the market. Think about Uber, how it's changing worldwide. Actually, in Bandwagon and many other systems, how they're changing the landscape, and so regulations are changing. So I wouldn't be too concerned about what the regulations are today. It's important to see how our cities could be tomorrow.
I'm sure we have listeners out there saying there are tons of people heading to the airport along the same route. We want to group people together in order to increase efficiency. That sounds a lot like mass transit. So is your next study going to be about the AirTrain Direct LIRR service to LaGuardia?
It's a very interesting point because we already have some very green technologies called subways and buses and mass transit. So, you know, I mean, one of the things I think we should talk about if we're going to be sort of realistic and also a little bit skeptical is that there could be unintended consequences of what we're suggesting. That is, if we make it so attractive to share taxis, does that mean we're going to start taking away from these even greener technologies of subways and buses?
Right. In fact, a smart economist could hypothesize that the way to efficiency is to make taxis as expensive as possible, mm-hmm. to disincentivize them altogether and funnel more people into mass transit.
Mm-hmm. It's a reasonable argument.
Totally. You know, if you want, you know, the interesting thing is that this kind of modeling, mathematical modeling, if you allow more people to combine trips, then, you know, it can model in the same way anything from the private vehicle all the way to the subway. So you could actually model anything between, say, the subway is a kind of a giant taxi, if you want, is a giant vehicle that brings together more people. So you could use a similar type of mathematical modeling for examining all of the spectrum between the single, the individual trip and when you combine many, many different trips. And you know, then the question again could be a question of optimization, or what is giving people the choice, but what is the best way for the city in order to satisfy people's mobility needs?
Bennett in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bennett.
Hello. I have been asking strangers to share cabs with me for 20 years, and it seems to me that while in the little bit more distant past, people would say, yeah, sure, where are you going? And then you work it out between the two of you, how much pays, who has to walk the extra couple blocks. But more recently, people seem to be, I don't know what it is, more afraid, more territorial, or it's like, ooh, you know, is this guy a serial killer or what? So I think it's just time for people to change their attitudes. It's a cultural thing. And we've got to get a little bit more tolerant and a little bit smarter. Last thing is, a root economic solution would be to make gasoline cost $50 a gallon. That'll change everybody's attitudes and way of living.
Sounds like you're on the Global Warming Policy Committee.
I'm a conservative, small c.
Thank you very much for your call, Bennett. Let's go to Christopher in Manhattan. Christopher, you're on WNYC. You have a cab sharing story?
I don't think that the issue is as much that people are mistrustful of fellow passengers as they are mistrustful of the cab drivers themselves. I lived in Washington, D.C. for about 6.5 years before I moved to New York 14 years ago, and they have cab sharing there, and I found that it was not terribly efficient because in order to maximize their fares, cab drivers would pick you up and then they'd stop every couple of blocks for someone who had their hand out. Where are you going? Oh, no, that's out of my way. They go to the next one. Where are you going? And I found that it was very inefficient. I think most people who take a cab are in a hurry to get where they're going, and that extra 5 minutes added onto the ride does make a big difference, and it creates stress.
Who wants to react?
I hear what the caller is saying, and it makes sense that there are people who don't want to share. And what we're envisioning is some future where, and actually, I mean, as David Mafuda says, it's already happening in the case of Bandwagon, apps that will have two buttons, one for those who want to share a ride and those who want a private ride. So if you're in a situation where you're able to, you know, suffer some of the vagaries of this may take 5 minutes longer than I thought, then maybe you're willing to share the ride. If you're really in that much of a rush, maybe you won't. But I think also, too, that people are having these earlier bad experiences with sharing because it was exactly so inefficient in the way that is, it was never designed very thoughtfully before. Mm-hmm. It was very ad hoc. And so I don't think it's comparable to what we're proposing. We're going to try to do it right.
Let's get a cabbie's view on this. YL in Manhattan is calling in. Hi, YL.
Hey, Brian. How are you doing? I always call about any subject about the cabs, you know, and stuff. Anyway, it's impossible, based on the Tax and Limousine Commission's data, to figure out the cab share. It's a great theme, and I'm glad that it's being brought up. But the only time that we were asked to multiply hire a meter or pick up people is only emergency times when you have the subway out of service or Sandy time, and that's where the study, I think, is based on. That's why they were talking about the 2011 research. But what I tell you about this particular cab sharing thing is one thing. Only friends do that. People who don't know each other don't want to do that. And it's just this is it. The app might work, you know, somewhere outside of New York City, but this is a different type of country here, man. I mean, people don't want to share cabs, and sometimes I would be going into the tunnel with a LaGuardia passenger, and there's another LaGuardia passenger or somebody with a suitcase, you know, waiting by the tunnel for a cab because it's rush hour or whatever. And I asked the passenger if they're going to the same the destination, would you mind picking them up and sharing the
really?
Cab?
Really? You do ask your passenger that sometimes?
Sometimes, yes. And they say, no, we don't want to share a cab with anybody. I'll pay the full fare and I'll give you a nice tip.
Interesting.
So it's not, it's on New York.
All right.
It's so not New York.
A report from the front lines, report from the front seat. Royale taxi driver in New York City. So, guys, that's, I mean, that's an anecdote. It doesn't prove anything statistically. But, you know, maybe he's onto something about resistance to share.
Mm-hmm. Don't know. Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. I think, you know, many people say that. And it's possible that that's just the way it's going to turn out. Time will tell. But there will be, you know, there are forces pushing against it. Economically, it's going to be cheaper for people, and environmentally, if we start to really worry about those CO2 emissions and all that. But, you know, it may turn out.
Tony in Essex County has a story from another city in another country. Hi, Tony. You're on WNYC.
Hi. Well, I was in Beirut, Lebanon in the 1970s. Before the war, and they had a system called service. And the service was a regular car. In fact, it was a Mercedes, and they were usually gray, and they were parked in certain places in Beirut. And when you wanted to go, it had a route that was prescribed. So if you were going from Beirut, let's say, to one of the small towns around Beirut, you would go to a certain part of Beirut, get in a service. And it was a shared about five people, of course, four people plus the driver. And it was wonderfully efficient. I always got where I wanted to go. I was a young woman in an Arab country by myself. I never had a single problem. And I have Mediterranean features, and they thought I was Lebanese. And once I said something in English, and they all applauded me on my wonderful English.
And you said, thank my parents.
I'm sorry?
You said, thank my parents.
Yes. But it was a great system, and I always said, I wish there were services in New York City that you would, if you were downtown and you knew you wanted to go to Times Square, you went to the place downtown where the services would collect, and you would get in one, and there'd be a whole bunch of people. You'd go to Times Square and get where you wanted to go.
Right. We call that, in New York, we call that the number three train.
Yes. Well, but they were very, it was very quick. Well,
yes.
In Beirut, it was quick because nobody, you know, obeyed red lights at the time.
A lot of
although
cities like that. Thank you for your call, Tony.
You're
I appreciate
welcome.
The story. Do before you go, is it a goal worth pursuing to reduce the number of taxis on the street by 40%? I mean, I guess it is from an environmental standpoint, but then it would put a lot of people like YL, who called from his taxi, out of business. They've just been expanding the number of taxis. It means more jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe it is something we want because it is just more cars on the road the way it is. Have you thought about it in terms of economic shrinkage as well as efficiency?
Yeah. Maybe I'll try this. So, you know, in the end, if you make a system more efficient, you have to allow for changes. But if it is a more efficient system, that means that there is more value that has to be distributed. Now, that value can be distributed to taxi drivers, to the people and in the cab, to the, whoever is riding the cab. So you know, then that's a different kind of question. But you know, if you make the system more efficient, you can save resources, you can reduce CO2 emissions, you can, you know, in a certain sense, you have less infrastructure and you achieve the same goal. So I think, you know, that's the same thing we're seeing many other parts of society, think about robots in production and so on. But, you know, in a certain sense, the question is, you should make a system more efficient. The question then is, how do you distribute the value that you generate by making it more efficient?
Carlo Ratti is director of the MIT Sensible City Laboratory. He co-authored the new taxi sharing study with Steven Strogatz, professor of applied mathematics at Cornell University, who some of you know is a frequent guest on Radiolab. It's been really interesting and great to hear some of our callers' stories. Thank you very much. We'll see if the policymakers dig into this and try to apply any of what you found. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, you know how Governor Cuomo is refusing to debate his Democratic primary opponent's effort to teach out? We're going to play a soundbite of the governor saying the debate could actually be bad for democracy. Stay with us.